Listening to Yarrabilly FM 99.1. This is Zine, and joining me is international Zine correspondent Luke Sinclair. Good afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon, Cora.
We have a very, 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 very special guest today. Could you tell us who our guest is?
So joining us from Reykjavik, Iceland, we have Jekke Olafsdóttir. Lovely to have you with us, Jekke. Can you just correct me on what is the correct pronunciation of your beautiful name?
Yeah, it's Bjarke Olafsdóttir.
Bjarke.
Yes.
Well, lovely to have you with us.
Jekke
is with us because she is participating in a virtual residency with Sticky Institute through the Melbourne City of Literature. Can you just tell us a little bit about that residency? How does that work?
It started with I'm like a member of the Writers Union in Iceland, and I saw one of their open calls, and that you could apply to become a writer in residence. And I applied, and Sticky chose me, and they were my first choice because I really like working with image and text together. And I made many drawings like that in the past as a part of my art practice. But then lately I got into scenes through a friend of mine who is called K-Fi, who lives in Switzerland. And I saw that they were totally into scenes, and then I thought it would be a great opportunity to experiment in the world of scenes and with that format. I decided to use this time as to really be playful and to do things kind of fast and to experiment and play and emphasis on when you kind of trick your unconscious, like you try to get away, like you make the perfectionist go to sleep, you know, with chloroform.
Isn't that a way you often work, working fast like that?
Yes and no. I mean, because I'm also trained in filmmaking, and that's like a long process involving many people and lots of precision and, you know, like a very different method, like work-wise. Whereas drawing and writing, like these short stories, can be very fast, and it's only me making it. So it's like, yeah, it can be fast and playful.
You said that Sticky Institute was your first choice. How did you learn about Sticky?
A couple of years ago, I was in Latvia in a residency there, and then I got to know KÜS. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but they make great, I can show you, like books, like comic books. And yeah, and then I kind of got a little bit into, you know, I guess it's kind of like art comics. Could you say that?
The KÜS comics are really amazing. So for anyone who's never seen one, they're very beautifully printed. The content is always incredible, and they publish individual artists in quite a slim volume, and then they put out these KÜS anthologies, which have maybe 30 artists, often from Eastern Europe, and sometimes a few Australian, a few kind of American and English artists kind of thrown in there. But we came in contact with KÜS because one time, without contacting us, they didn't call or email or anything, but they sent us this enormous Latvian postal sack full of their comics with just a note saying, hey, we want to sell our comics in your shop. And they're just incredible, both in terms of content and production, just beautifully, beautifully written and beautifully, beautifully produced. How long was your residency in Latvia?
It was like 2.5 months, and it was actually a photography residency, and they had like a office and premises and an exhibition space just next to where KÜS had the office and an exhibition space. And And Coos had such a lovely exhibition. So I was always there, and they were having interesting experimental concerts and just amazing art. So I started to hang out there, and then I look at their comics and, you know, kind of became friends with them. So that's how I got to know them. But then, I mean, I didn't know about Sticky until the open call, but then I contacted David and I was like, hey, you know, this sounds really interesting. And then he was like, yeah, you know, they're super cool. And that's how.
So it's worth saying with this residency program, there's a whole number of Icelandic writers who have been attached to organizations across Melbourne. So I think there's maybe 10 or 12 writers who are attached to various different places, and they're all just engaging with the organization in whatever kind of ways they want to engage with it. So I know you've been working on some workshops and making some work with Helen and Sam from Sticky. So we might go and play some music, and then we can talk about what work you've been doing here in Melbourne when we come back.
Perhaps you could tell us a bit about the workshop that you ran through Sticky Institute.
Yeah, it was a great workshop that I did with Sam and Helen. And they are, I mean, they've had much more workshops than I in their lives. So I was benefiting from their experience, but we decided to have it about being playful, about playing. So the title was Permission to Play, and then just to do a scene in like 1.5-2 hours, just like fast. And it was kind of like a hangout situation. We asked people to bring, I mean, we did it online, but people would bring, you know, mark making materials and paper and glue and scissors, and then we taught people to make very basic scene, and like I wrote the story and drew some images, and like basically we made scene in a very short time and talked about tricks, like how to get inspired and how to kill procrastination. Like all these tricks of the trade that have been beneficial for us.
How do you set up play in your work? What environment do you need?
That's actually a good question, because I think environment does play a role. Like, let's say if you have a huge studio, all of a sudden you make huge works, which can be a problem to see. And but I had a really great art teacher once, and he sent us out to write in different places. He said, you know, so it was kind of experiment and how you feel in different places. And I remember I was just sitting in a grove in some trees writing. I mean, you write very differently there than in an office or, let's say, a studio or a cafe. So, you know, you can take in the environment. But I can pretty much work wherever. But I learned that you should not bring ink to the doctor's office. I was once in a doctor's office waiting, and I had like an ink bottle, and I was doing some precision work. And then the doctor came and touched my shoulder and startled me, and the bottle went all over the white table there, and it was just a disaster.
When I was at art school, my partner came and visited me in the studio one day, and I just set up the room with these pieces of wood and was just kind of moving them around the room, just arranging them. And she said, oh, you just get to play all day. And I was quite surprised. And it was like, yeah, I guess that's what making should be like. You know, you just get to play. And when you do that, something happens, the magic comes, hopefully, and then you can kind of proceed somewhere else. So how do you play if you're in a doctor's office or in a small apartment in Reykjavik?
I mean, it's a little bit like, I mean, football player. You really have to train every day, and you just train, and then you have these matches. And it's a little bit similar with, I mean, any trade or any craft or art. I mean, you just have to do it, basically. So you have to pursue it, and that's key, just to do it. And some days are better than others. I mean, you just have to continue doing it.
And how does that work for you in terms of, do you get up in the middle of the night and work? Do you get straight up out of bed and work in the morning? Do you have set times each day? How do you like to do it?
I work a couple of hours every day. It depends on what my project is. Like, what is the, like, if it's for an exhibition or if it's a film. So it's like different, maybe schedule for that. But I always carry notebooks and some colors with me wherever I go. So I oftentimes, I mean, I jot down all the ideas, or if I think they're good, then I jot them down all the time. And if I only have a mobile phone, then I, you know, write it down there or record a message, kind of I record the idea. No, as not to lose it, because otherwise it just goes somewhere else. It will knock on someone else's door.
Could you give us an example of one of these voice memos that you might leave on your phone, as though you've just kind of hit on some incredible artistic idea and you want to just put it down there on record? Can we hear what it might sound like?
Yeah. Það var einu sinni snákur sem að safnaði vindlum og hann átti að þessum marga vindla, hann þurfti að fara að kaupa sérstakan vindlaskáp. En það ekki auðvelt fyrir snáka að kaupa vindlaskápa, þannig að hann þurfti að fá vin sinn sem að var skógabjörn til að fara og ræna fyrir sig vindlaskáp. Já, þetta kannski ekki, við sjáum hvert þetta fer, þetta kannski byrjunin á einhverju, takk. Okay, so you want to know what I did?
Yes.
So basically, I mean, it's an idea of a snake who is collecting cigars, and now he has so many cigars that he needs a cabinet for the cigars. And because it's so hard for snakes to enter, you know, these kind of shops, so he asked his friend, who's like a bear, to go and rob one. And yeah, that's the start of something. We don't know where it's going, but we can start with that. So it's just something, it's basically this brainstorming, like.
I love it, you know. It's so good.
You know this DJ Cat comics? This Gushy.
Oh, that's put out by, did Kush publish that? Kush sent us copies of that.
Yeah, they published like a I think with someone else, like this special edition. And David sent it for me to my birthday, and then I went to studio the other day and I'm in the process of making a song about this cat. So I was wondering if I should sing one song line about it, or what do you think? Is that good?
Yes. Yeah, we want to hear
definitely.
That. Do you mean you're going to just sing it live? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I could just sing like one segment of it. Gushy is a DJ cat. Gushy is a DJ cat from Japan. Gushy is a DJ cat from Japan. Gushy is a DJ cat living in 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 Japan. And Gushy is a DJ cat living in Japan. Gushy is a DJ cat living in Japan. Is this good?
Yeah. So good. That's so good.
So this is something in the making. So this is coming out of the sticky residency. You know.
Yay.
But it oftentimes work like that. Like I'm supposed to be working with word and text, and then I start to sing, you know?
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Zine.
We are joined by Bjerke, who is joining us from Reykjavik in Iceland. They are the virtual writer in residency with Sticky Institute through Melbourne City of Literature at the moment. I wanted to ask what you were hoping to kind of gain through being a virtual writer in residency.
I thought it was a very interesting concept because it allows me to interact with Australia but while still being at home, and it seems to be a offspring of COVID where we started to use Zoom and all these methods to communicate, and we learned that it's possible and about the possibilities it has. And I thought that was beautiful that Melbourne could invite 5 international writers for different institutions this way. And I have never been to Australia, but I have some artist friends that are Australian, and I'm curious about Australia, and I thought it would be interesting and fun to see what you guys are up to and to have this communication. And I also think you always learn and do new works. Like, you surprise yourself when you interact with different people and different environments. So I just came to make a few scenes. And, yeah, that was my motive when I started. And then, yeah, it has just been beautiful.
You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is Zane. You were saying earlier that there were some shortcuts or tips. Can you give us a few of those tips?
Yes, there is the, like, one tip for how to fight procrastination. Let's say you need to make a huge essay, you know, you're like a, you know, or a text. I mean, people have to write long texts, let's say if they're studying something or whatnot. And it's always like, oh, you know, it's so hard to start. It's just like, people are like, yeah, I'm going to start tomorrow. You know, so there's a power in just starting. So basically, just open that book or page where you're writing the thing and just start with finding a title. You know, just start there. And then what is good to do is put the timer on 8 minutes and just write wildly. You know, don't censor yourself. Just think about, for 8 minutes, I will just write and nothing else. And I'm not multitasking for those 8 minutes. And then you just do it, because 8 minutes is not a long time. I mean, most people can be like, yeah, I can do that. And then after those 8 minutes, your best friend calls and is like, oh, I'm going to have this, you know, birthday party just now, like 3 weeks ahead or something. You know what I mean? You can miss great festivities and stuff if you're always last minute. So you don't want to lose that, for example. But then I think, yeah, then tricks about how to get ideas. I think it's good to, you know, read books, read comics, go to the cinema, go to the theater. I think it's like when I'm drawing or writing, I sometimes like to listen to music or change the environment. I mean, some people like working in cafes, but it's good to change also. Not always, like, let's say you're writing or drawing something small, then you can go almost anywhere and, you know, it can change your work. And then it's good to have peers, people that are also working creatively, artists or comic artists, to have a community, because then you inspire each other. And then also, for example, I think how to reach the unconscious, because if the perfectionist some people are very perfectionistic and it can really paralyze people in doing anything. But some people have kind of learned to, you know, kind of put it to sleep a little bit. So I think a good thing to do is, for example, let's say when people are speaking on the phone, like almost all people are just doodling, like, and not thinking about what they're doing. So it is kind of good to maybe, let's say you're talking on the phone and then you just draw while you're doing it. Kind of like kind of semi looking at it, but still not. Sometimes you can get good stuff out of that, for example. And then just like, let's say, yeah, go to workshops. You know, I think re-education is key in any field. And to have this of the beginner, like always be up for new things or new tricks and experiment with new tricks. And then it's also good to show things. Let's say you want to be a visual artist, you know, get your stuff out there and don't wait for other people to discover you. Put your stuff out there wherever you can. I mean, the libraries, they have a little exhibition corner. You can, and try to show for free. Don't pay greedy people money to show your work. Like, find a place that you can do it for free. Even just fill your own house with stuff and invite your friends or people, or, you know, there are many ways to do it.
Great tips. Thank you.
I mean, I think the world becomes better if people take the time to create and makes people happy, right?
Definitely.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Hopefully those zines will all be printed and ready and available on the Sticky Institute stall at the Festival of the Photocopier Zine Fair, which is happening in the Meat Market, North Melbourne, on Saturday the 11th and Sunday the 12th of February 2023. Thank you so much. That was a really special interview, and we really look forward to seeing your zines on the shelf at Sticky.
I look forward to seeing them too. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you.